Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And Jesus continues in teaching by saying, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I forgot to mention in the announcements that our resident Boy Scout troop are helping with various aspects of worship, so thank you guys for doing that. Any Lutheran worth their salt just heard Jesus say a swear. Two words that evoke gasps and sputters from theologians, pastors, Martin Luther, and first-year seminarians. Jesus just said, "Good works." For many Protestant traditions, but especially Lutherans, the phrase "good works" is supposed to make us squirm uncomfortably. But if we're going to talk about good works, we're certainly not supposed to let others see them. The Lutheran tradition boldly declares that we are saved by grace through faith apart from works. It's like a weighty bumper sticker that lifelong Lutherans just rattle off. We are saved by grace through faith apart from works. This is the center of the Reformation spirit. It is the spirit that carried Martin Luther and other major reformers of the church. They critiqued and protested and left and began again in communities under the banner of saved by grace through faith apart from works. Apart from works. And Jesus just stepped right in it with this cry to all his listening disciples, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." There's some context that is helpful here. If you were here last week, we heard the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and it's going to continue for quite a while after this week. But we're in week 2 of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Last week we heard, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the hungry." Jesus beckons the suffering and neglected of the earth and balances it with a sure promise to not only be present, but to bring transformation and holy blessing. And Jesus has laid out a vision of the kingdom of God and now moves to describe those who are making the way for the kingdom. The speech pattern has shifted from general "blessed are these people groups" to direct speech. "You are the salt of the earth." This is not, "I will make you salty," not "take my salt and run." Jesus has already given a new identity, a new way of living. You are the salt of the earth. You are already the light of the world. The Greek here is emphatic and it is plural. So through our limited English, we only hear the one "you." But I think a clearer rendering would be, "All y'all are the salt of the earth, and all y'all are the light of the world." Not borrowers of God's light, but right there, in and of our bodily and spiritual existence, is God's salt and light. And in that "you are" is the salvific promise of Christ. God's great love for the world that moves in ways that are meant to shake us up and awaken us to the movement of the kingdom of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God does not desire our lives to be so stale, tasteless, dark, that we are complacent or boring or lost. In that bold declaration of you are salt and you are light, we are brought back to the reality of the Beatitudes, and God is the power underneath it all. And we get to be the seasoning and illuminating agents in the kingdom of heaven. So how? How are we salt? How are we light? Jesus uses these object lessons to guide us, to bring direction to our lives and to our ministry together. Think of how salt is used. We usually hold it in containers in our kitchen. Mine lives in a little orange owl on my stovetop. And while preparing food, we carefully or sometimes haphazardly decide how best to begin sprinkling or pouring and most certainly mixing this precious commodity into our food. Alone, salt is pretty worthless, off-putting even. But when mixed into the food, it comes to life, bringing out other flavors to otherwise bland food. If we are the salt of the earth, we can conclude that hanging out in our different containers or church buildings and never getting mixed in is a surefire way of becoming flavorless salt. This past Sunday evening, our church building was filled with joy. A memorial provided dinner and a space for nearly 200 people to gather and make new friends. These new friends included Lutherans, Muslims, and neighbors that had no connection to either faith community. And we hung out and visited and shared a meal. We had an opportunity to practice being salt of the earth, to witness to the kingdom of heaven that we believe is marked with respect for the neighbor, support for the hurting, joy in the presence of God. Walking the walk of faith isn't always fun or joyful or come with good food, but that was a night when living into our salty identities was a joyous privilege. We are salt for the earth. Jesus has said it is all for the earth, for the natural world. We are called to be salt not because it will feel good or because it will get us points in the kingdom of heaven. And we are light, not because light is always welcomed. It's illuminating, even those things we would rather not illuminate. And we are light because the darkness is everywhere. And we are light for the world. That is the nature of the kingdom of heaven, that we are liberated to do good works, which flow out of our identity established in Jesus Christ. And this is the nature of the kingdom of heaven, which offers another way of living. So there it is, the job description of salt and light in the kingdom of God. So we can handle Jesus' chatter today about good works without squirming too uncomfortably, because we're already valued and loved and empowered children of God. Good works, we are freed to do them to the glory of God for the sake of the world. You are the seasoning God has placed in the world at this time and in this place. Already you, all y'all, just as you are. And you are the light that God ignites the darkness with, shining and stunning and illuminating. Already you, just as you are. In your bulletin are index cards. If you've been here the last few weeks, you know what this is about. Through this long season of Epiphany, we are thinking about how we are made into disciples of Christ. And by the end of the season, we'll have all the cards displayed for you to see. They have been incredible to read. So we've talked about how we're called to be in God's workers in God's kingdom. We've thought about memorable experiences that have shaped us as God's people. And today, your writing assignment is easy. Write a name, or maybe more than one name, of workers in the kingdom who have been or currently are salt and light for you. A Another word for this is witness. Who has been a witness? The choir will sing that question while we write our name or names of those who have been a witness or a salt or a light for us, because it has been passed on, this gift of faith. Thanks be to God for establishing such a kingdom in our stale and darkened world. May we be agents of life and light for others. Amen.